So before we begin, we always like to recite the introductory prayers. And for those who are familiar with it, please, you can chant along. Om Ajnanat Midandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurube Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Shvabhadantikam Andeham Sri Guru Sri Judapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha. Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatrubhyastha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming this evening to this wonderful Sunday program. Tonight we're going to be taking a verse out of the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Attaining the Supreme. And most of us are all familiar with Bhagavad Gita. But it's worth repeating that this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, which took place on a battlefield, Kurukshetra, some 5,000 years ago, is a very important discussion. We were discussing a little bit earlier with some devotees how in society there are many topics of discussion. Shrota Vyadini Rajan Raninam Santi Sahasrasha Apasyatam Atma Tattam Griheshu Grihamedinam. There are countless things to talk about. As a matter of fact, thousands and thousands of people are employed by different agencies, just to create topics, so-called newsworthy topics, just to occupy our brains, just to engage our mind and senses. But unfortunately, because those topics, apasyatam atma tattvam, because they don't have anything to do with atma-tattva, or knowledge of the self, they're useless conversations. And only the griha-medis, griheshu-griha-medinam, those who are absorbed in griha-medi life, or those who are whose only interest is advancing materially, such persons are attracted to that sort of conversation. But those who are interested in making spiritual advancement, or those who are interested in understanding what the goal of life is, have no interest in such discussions. And that's, therefore, we have the Vedic literatures and wonderful conversations such as Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaking to Arjuna. And although it was spoken some thousands of years ago, it's still relevant to present society. In every way, it's relevant. because the age-old problems of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, they've existed since time immemorial, and they'll continue. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Those miseries of material life, they are here. They're here to stay. Therefore, those who are interested in going beyond that, or being relieved of that cycle of repeated birth and death, and old age and misery, miserable diseases, etc., their interest should be in such topics, attaining the Supreme, as this eighth chapter is entitled. And in tonight's verse, we're going to be discussing the great blessings of chanting, just as we were chanting a few minutes ago. And many of us, we may have opportunity throughout the day, whether it's at home or in other settings, to chant or hear this transcendental sound. Well, there's a benefit to it. Otherwise, why would we emphasize it so much? There is a very important benefit that is derived from it, and Krishna explains that in tonight's verse. This verse we're going to be reading is text number 14. And Krishna says, ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasha tasyaham shulabham partha nitya yuktasya yogina. Translation: for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pitta, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Purport: this verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. This is the blessing that one is able to attain the spiritual world, the abode of Krishna. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation have also been described: karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti yoga, without any mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha. As indicated by the word ananya cheta, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahmajyoti or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Nishkama, which means he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. Whereas a jnana yogi, karma yogi, or hatha yogi has his own selfish interests. A perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to him, he is easy to attain. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna in one of his various personal features. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations, such as Rama and Nrisimha, and a devotee can choose to fix his mind in loving service to any of these transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, He is especially inclined toward those who always serve Him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways, as stated in the Vedas, in Katha Upanishad. Yam evaisha vivinute tena labhyas, tasyaisha atma vivinute tanum swam. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as He is. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. The Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain Him in his spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." As indicated by the words Satatam and Nityasha, which mean always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon Him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti Yoga is a system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the Bhakti Yogis are engaged in five different ways. One would be Shanta Bhakta, engaged in devotional service and neutrality. Two, Dasya Bhakta, engaged in devotional service as servant. Three, Sakya Bhakta, engaged as a friend. Four, Vatsalya Bhakta, engaged as parent. And Madhurya Bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. And so for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment, and similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the blessing, great blessing, of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, that's why we stress the chanting of Hare Krishna so strongly. As Srila Prabhupada is very nicely pointing out here, that the goal of life should be to attain the personality of Godhead, or liberation from this repetition of birth and death. That's the goal of life. The goal of life is misunderstood in the present world. Everything but that. As soon as you bring that topic up, it's almost like taboo. No one is interested. I need to go somewhere. I have an appointment. I don't have any time for that right now. Catch me when I'm barely able to walk, and when I don't have any other. I can't move. And then maybe we can talk about spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada comments how sometimes in the churches and even in the temples, generally you see the older folk. Because the newer or the younger generations are thinking, well, I don't have time for such subjects. I don't have time for such discussions. I have an appointment. I have to go to the movies, or I have to go to work, or I have to this or that. There's millions of reasons. But really, these are not good reasons. Instead, they entangle us. Nidraya hriyate vaktam bhavayena cha bhavaya. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami describes in the second canto how the materialists, their days are spent in working very hard throughout the day, and the evenings they're spent in sleeping. Prahlad Maharaj also describes how 50% of the life is wasted just in sleep. Can you imagine? 50% of your life, practically speaking, is lost just in sleeping. I was listening to a very nice lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and he was making point how the Goswamis, they had conquered, there was no question of sex, because they were renunciates. And they had obviously no interest in gambling. So the their goal was to conquer the eating. They would eat just a tiny bit, but then last but not least, the sleeping. Because the sleeping is a mode of ignorance. And especially it wastes one's life. So nidraya ariyate vaktam vavayana cha vavaya divya karte haire rajan katumba barneenava. Their lives are spent in throughout the day working, and at night just sleeping. So this is obviously not a proper use of this gift of the human form of life, because this human form of life is a gift. The Vedas describe how there are millions and thousands of different forms of life, but out of those, there's only a very small portion which are human, human form. And out of those human forms, there's a very, very small portion who are interested in practicing spiritual life. And out of those, Krishna explains, there's very few who actually become realized or understand that I have an opportunity here to become freed from a repetition of birth and death. And out of those, there's practically, you can count on one hand, those who are who have realized who Krishna is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's such an important gift that we have this human form of life. And therefore, it's described, Prabhupada is very nicely describing here, that the final destination of the unalloyed devotees, those who are actually advanced in knowledge, is to serve the personality of Godhead. And of course, we may come with different reasons. As Prabhupada points out here, there are some who are distressed. We're distressed because of one thing or another. Sometimes we don't know how to cope with the distress. Just like I was explaining to Bhakta Nick and Bal Gopal, we were just discussing a few minutes ago how sometimes we don't know how to cope with that distress. I have a nephew who just a few days ago shot himself in the chest. And unfortunately, the material world is full of persons who are dealing with their anxieties or their troubled minds, and they don't know how to deal with it, don't know how to reach out, and sometimes it manifests itself in such an unfortunate way. But the world is full of it. So of distressed persons, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, They're a different person. Fortunately, he survived and had enough I guess Krishna consciousness. I would say Krishna consciousness because my wife has been cultivating him for some time, and he's had enough association that at least he reached out to her and left a message on my voicemail from his bed 2 days later. Hare Krishna. He had enough to enough in him to chant Hare Krishna. Just as Prabhupada points out, or this verse very nicely points out, what is the benefit of chanting? It's so important. So there are so many distressed conditions, and there are also inquisitive persons, those who have. They're curious. Maybe they see the devotees out and about, or they may hear something and are a little intrigued by what are these people all about. I remember the first time I saw the devotees. I used to drive home from work. I would have to home, and I would have to drive by the Hare Krishna temple. This was in Denver, and I would drive. It was a one-way street, but right in front of the temple, there's a stoplight. They have this weird thing, and I guess it's traffic control or something, that in Denver they play stoplights sometimes in alleys. Between blocks, it's their idea of doing some sort of traffic control. They have these one-way streets, and then they'll have a stoplight in different alley intersections. Anyway, the temple was right there at this one alley intersection, and you would have to stop there, and you'd look over to the left, and there's the devotees sitting on the lawn, and you couldn't help but get curious. So I would drive by, and finally got the nerve to walk from where I was living, a mile away or so, to the temple, and sat across the street because I was too, I guess, I don't know if I was intimidated, but too apprehensive or too, well, these people are a little strange. And I would sit across the street, and I would watch the devotees. And they'd come out and do their business. And then finally I had enough nerve to go across the street, and I actually talked to one devotee. We went inside, and that was that. And then from 2 or 3 weeks after that, I moved into the Hare Krishna temple. But there are cases as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here, that there are distressed persons, there are those who may be inquisitive, they get curious about the looks or the activities of devotees, or those who seek material gain. Even sometimes one may come to spiritual life thinking that, oh, now I can get out of my financial difficulties, or I may go to God to pray to Him for some wealth. And then there are those who are actually seeking the Absolute Truth. So there are different processes, as Prabhupada points out here, associated with those different seekers. The karmis, the jnanis, the hatha yogis. They're associated with those who may be in distress, or who may be inquisitive or looking for the Absolute Truth. But aside from all of those, the bhaktis, the bhakta yogis, are considered topmost. Krishna explains that yoginam api sarvesham. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita also describes that that those who are engaged in bhakti, or those who are simply interested in engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, who are freed from these other motives, right? Akama sarvakamo va mokshakamo dharadi, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita also describes bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta, that those who are interested in these other processes, whether it be looking for some gyan or liberation or karmic wealth, their position is very unstable. They're disturbed, sakale ashanta. But the Krishna bhaktas, because their motive is devotional service without deviation, as the Lord explains in this verse, they're remembering Krishna without deviation. They're not interested in some other purpose, whether it be liberation or merging into the supreme or material wealth or any of these things. Such persons, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataeva Shanta, they're very satisfied. They're very peaceful. And as Krishna explains here, he becomes very easily available to them. Srila Prabhupada points out here, as indicated by the word ananya cheta, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna, not even a promotion to the heavenly planets. And of course, that may sound, well, that's not, I'm not really interested in it, but the reality is the heavenly planets are very attractive. There's wonderful opulences and different and sense gratification beyond our imagination. Actually, there's even some warning that when one engages in the process of bhakti, that one not become distracted. There's a very nice literature written by Sanatana Goswami, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which describes how the bhakta, Gopal, travels through the different levels of the universe, and how progressively they become more and more opulent and attractive. Of course, in his heart, he's always thinking of his Gopal in Vrindavan. But so we may think that, well, it's just a it's just a warning. But reality is that even in this world, we're very attracted to a nice home, or we're very attracted to a nice car, or we're very nice, we're attracted to a very nice meal, or some other material object. What to speak of the heavenly planets, where one can live for thousands of years. For thousands of years. The Prachetas, who were the sons of Prachinabarhi, they were benedicted to live for a billion lifetimes. After they had performed austerities in the ocean on the order of their father, King Prachinabarhi, they were meditating in the water for 10,000 years. Again, now this may sound too fantastic, but we take this information as reality from the Vedic literature. So they were meditating for some 10,000 years. And when they came out, the Lord was so satisfied that he himself appeared before them and offered them benedictions. One of those benedictions was that they would be allowed to live for 1 billion years. And we can't imagine what that means. 1 billion years, celestial years, not in Los Angeles for 1 billion years. Who wants to be in L.A. for 1 billion years? Not in this place. But we're talking about celestial years. Of course, their interest was simply, in addition to that benediction, they were given the benediction that they would remain firmly fixed in devotional service. So for the devotee, even material opulence, we don't have any problem with it. But because we see it in the right light, we see it as a gift from Krishna, and therefore it should be used in Krishna's service. Just like we may have a very nice temple, or we may have a strong constitution, or you may have a very good intelligence, or you may be very attractive, you may be very renounced. But these are certainly different gifts. They're different opulences. We accept these in terms of using them for Krishna. Otherwise, there's no interest. Otherwise, there's no interest. Again, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ataeva Shanta. Because there's no interest for a personal gratification, the devotee of the Lord is prepared to accept whatever Krishna gives. A pure devotee, however, does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with a Brahmajyoti, or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. Again, everyone is in a great anxiety and distress after trying to enjoy in this world time and time again. We become frustrated and just try to reject it all. And even after that, rejection is not very satisfying. The ultimate or the final conclusion or step is to merge into the personality of Godhead. After everything else has been a failure, one wants to merge into the absolute truth or become one. We were listening to a very nice lecture this morning where Srila Prabhupada was quoting from the third canon of Bhagavatam, where Kapila Dev was speaking to his mother, Devahuti. And Srila Prabhupada was pointing out how the devotees of the Lord, they don't even have any interest in merging into the Absolute. It's hellish. Instead, their interest is simply the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, his service. Unflinchingly devoted to him, Srila Prabhupada points out here. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna and is only interested in, and it may be his many different features. There are different forms of the Lord. Krishna has been so kind that he manifests himself in different forms for his devotees. And Prabhupada points, quotes from this one verse, Yam evaisha virinite tena labhyas. Krishna reveals himself in a particular form to attract his devotee. The Brahma Sanghita describes that there are different forms of the Lord. Ramadi Murti Shukala Nyamena Tishna Nana Avataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. There's so many different forms. Rama, Nrsingha, all of these forms are there just to attract our minds so that we can turn ourselves away from the attractions of this material world. That we're so infatuated by. So the Lord manifests these wonderful forms so that His devotees can fix their mind upon Him in some particular loving service. Srila Prabhupada points out here, Bhakti Yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can simply begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna is so merciful that if you don't have any attraction to anything, at least one can chant the holy name of the Lord. If nothing else, just hearing it. Because that holy name is non-different from the Lord. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna is right there in His holy name, and when we chant that holy name, Krishna manifests all His opulences. He's so merciful. And He's especially inclined to those who serve Him without deviation. Who are fully surrendered and who are engaged in trying to understand Him as He is. And if that's not enough, Krishna gives the intelligence by which we can approach Him. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mumpayant. Krishna gives the intelligence. If nothing else attracts you, Krishna is so kind that He's in the heart and He gives you the intelligence by which you can become attracted. Krishna is so merciful. And then again, He's situated in the heart. Right? Sadhanam Hridayam Mayam. Krishna's in the heart of His devotees. Sadhanam Hridayam Toham. They're keeping me in their hearts, and I'm always keeping them within my heart. Krishna's situated there in the heart of all living beings, and He's giving direction. Right? Ishwarak Sarvabhutanam Hridayasharjana Tishtati. Krishna is always there in the heart, giving direction. The unfortunate thing is that we don't know how to turn to Him. Instead, we're turning to so many other things which are not satisfying. They're only causing greater and greater distress until finally it explodes. And people have to do some crazy thing. So, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is, as Prabhupada points out here, is a very simple and easy method to approach the personality of Godhead, become aware that He's there within the heart, and ultimately attain Him in the spiritual kingdom. Prabhupada points out here the special qualification of a pure devotee is that he's always thinking of Krishna without deviation, without considering the time or place. And there should be no impediments. The process is so simple that whether you're working or whether you're sleeping even, we can just saturate our consciousness with Krishna to the point where even our dreams are fixed on a particular pastime and experience with Krishna or His devotees. Prabhupada points out here that he should be able to carry out his service anywhere at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived, but a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It's like here, we have a very wonderful Vrindavan-like atmosphere. We have wonderful art, the deities are here, the beautiful sounds and smells, the sound vibrations, Krishna's holy name and his pastimes, all of these things, they transform this, what would be otherwise an ordinary, just some ordinary building, into the spiritual world. It's so powerful. As indicated by the word satatam and nityasha, which means always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Krishna makes himself very easily available, attainable to those who are interested in him. It's very practical. If you want to get someone's attention, you have to be sold out to them. And when you're sold out to them, they make themselves available. But if we're just thinking part-time, maybe 50% or 25% or 75%. No, it should be 100%. As you surrender unto Krishna, Krishna explains, he rewards you accordingly. So if your interest is 100%, Krishna is there, without a doubt. And those who are seriously interested in his service, Krishna makes himself very easily available. And as Prabhupada points out here, there are five different ways to do that, and that is engaging in devotional service and neutrality, or servitorship, or friendship, or parental, or conjugal. In so many ways, one can be constantly engaged in a devotional service of the Personality of Godhead. And so how can we forget unless we're just terribly foolish? And even in that case, terribly foolish, the Lord has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For even the most foolish people who have no interest in spirituality, Krishna has kindly appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most munificent incarnation of the Personality of Godhead. Krishna is giving us this knowledge, which is one thing, but and again, we're hardly interested, if at all. But to make it even easier, he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he presents it, he brings it to us in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement, in the form of his holy name. And so this is, as Prabhupada points out here, it's a great blessing of the Lord, this chanting of the holy names. And for that reason, it's considered so special. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. There's a difference between theoretically understanding something and realizing something. There's jnana and vijnana. We can study something and theoretically understand how it works, but to actually apply it that's a whole different experience. Right now, we're in the learning stage. We're all trying to learn the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we actually realize it, then we'll live it. Then we'll live it. Then everything we do is done as an offering to Krishna. Everything we do, and whether it's eating, sleeping, talking, walking, everything is directed as an offering. Now, how can that be? Well, Maharaj Ambarish is a good example of that. He would walk to the temple. He would use his legs for walking. Of course, we have lives. People are, you know, you're not living in the temple, say. What do you do? Well, again, one can work or mold his life in such a way that there's time. That time is made to engage in devotional service. And when you're serious about it, that time will manifest. A Krishna will give you that that time. Well, I don't have time right now because I got so many, I got to do this, that. No, that's really, all that is just an excuse. When we're truly serious, Krishna will manifest an opportunity that we can engage in some devotional service for Him. And that's realization. So, yeah, there is a difference between jnan and vijnan, to know something theoretically and then realize it. When you realize it, then you actually act on it. Everything you do is Krishna conscious. It's like when, if you watch any videos of Srila Prabhupada, if you watch his videos or his conversations, live conversations that he had, everything he did was just perfect. It was so Krishna conscious. Even just picking up something was so beautiful. Just doing anything. He played kartals. It was so beautiful. Or he would walk. Or he'd just hold his cane or hold his beads. There's a real nice video of Srila Prabhupada chanting japa upstairs here in his quarters that ITV has produced. And you watch those videos, and it's everything he did was just extraordinary. It was so pure. There was no interest for his own gratification whatsoever. I remember one time in Dallas, I went on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and the day was, it was early morning, and when we got to this place, it was a golf course. Prabhupada was going to walk along this golf course. So when we got out, Prabhupada walked through the parking lot with his cane, and before he got to the grass, he touched it with the cane to see if it was wet or not, right? If there was some morning dew or the sprinklers, I don't know what it was. But the grass was wet, so Prabhupada just turned around, and we walked for half an hour in the parking lot, in the paved area. But that was so transcendental. Just his walking, or just his moving of his cane, or if he would sit in his room in Mayapur, and he would just relax there so beautifully. It was so transcendental. It's all Krishna consciousness. That's realization, and such persons, they emanate it. It emanates from their personality, from their person. It's not artificial. They don't have to put on any cream on, or grow a big beard, or change their dress, or make some big fanfare wherever they go. No, it just happens automatically. And that's realization. That's a person who's realized. And Prabhupada was such a person. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
In the first part of what you told us about
liberation from material life. Yeah, that's a very good question. What is the difference between the two? Well, the generally the Mayavadi's idea is different from the Bhakta's idea of liberation. The Bhakta's idea is to simply be engaged in Krishna's devotional service. But the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, their idea is that I want to merge into the personality of Godhead. I want to become one with God. But the devotees, which is ultimately a temporary position, Aruya Krishna Parampada Patanti Yado Nadrida Yuzmit Angraya, the Bhagavatam describes that such persons, they eventually fall down from that form of liberation because their intelligence is not pure. Their idea is they're still wanting some gratification. But the devotee's idea of liberation means, let me simply engage in Krishna's devotional service. Let me go back to the spiritual world and engage in Krishna's service as his servant, as his friend, as his parent, as his lover. So but that's a very good question. There's two different types of liberation that we're talking about. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now we get to experience a little liberation, prasadam.